Okay, so let's just say a few other ha'aras about Mila and the Zman and the connection. So, first of all, I left you with a little bit of a cliffhanger, so I have to explain it. So you mentioned that there is a major machlokas about how the hiddur of Bris Mila plays out. And that we left talking about the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, where the Gemara talks about hiddur mitzvah in the context of Mila. And again, we're not going to get into graphic detail, but you'll just take my word for it that there is tzitzin hama'akfinas amila, but tzitzin she'ena ma'akfinas amila, that there are parts which are crucial, and you must cut those for the mila to be valid, and there are parts which are not so crucial, but that's considered to be a hiddur mitzvah. And in that context, the Gemara says that when you're in the process of mila, so then you should make sure to cut both. It sits in hama'akfin, it sits in she'ena ma'akfin. But if you've already finished, so then it sits in she'ena ma'akfin, you don't go back for. You would only go back for the tzitzin hama'akfin asemila. And the question is why? Why not? So many Rishonim, perhaps a majority Rishonim, Rashi, Tosis, Ramah, Latour, they all understand that we're talking about Shabbos. This is a Shabbos issue. The Mila in question is happening on Shabbos. So since it's a Chiddush that we're making any Chavalas on Shabbos to begin with, so you can't do that just for the purpose of a Hiddur Mitzvah. While the Rambam is the outlier here, the Rambam in Hilchos Mila, Perek Beis Halacha Daled, the Rambam says, you don't go back, stop. Does not assume that we're talking about Shabbos. Mila's on a Tuesday, you also don't go back. So the question is, why not? What's the issue? We don't believe in Hiddur Mitzvah? Why don't you go back? So this is the question I think we left with. So anyone want to try to take a stab at that? Definitely no pun intended. It would be a bad... yeah, Morgan?
If Hiddur Mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself and is in a separate aspect, so it could be that once you're done with the mitzvah itself, you don't gain anything extra by going back for it later on.
Okay, so that's how many do explain. You have to formulate it a little more detail for that to work. What do you mean? Explain what you mean when you say Hiddur Mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. Because it doesn't explain enough with what you said so far.
So Hiddur Mitzvah could either be...
Just to interrupt while you're saying that, it sounds like what you mean. I don't think this is what you mean. It sounds like what you mean. The question is Hiddur Mitzvah something that really is counted with the mitzvah and becomes a part of the mitzvah? Or is it something extra? And if that's what we mean, then it sounds like we're already addressing that, because even the other Rishonim, who all say, don't do it on Shabbos, sounds like that's what they're addressing. They're saying that, listen, this is not the Mitzvah's Mila. This is the Hiddur Mitzvah's Mila. And Mitzvah's Mila is Docha Shabbos. But Hiddur Mitzvah is not Docha Shabbos. So therefore, to make a cut just for the sake of Hiddur, we can't allow that on Shabbos. So that's, according to everybody, you wouldn't do it on Shabbos. So if that's the issue, does the Hiddur Mitzvah become the Mitzvah itself, it seems like the whole point of this Gemara is that it doesn't, at least for this purpose. Which, parenthetically, opens up a whole question, which is dealt with in other contexts also, because there are other Gemaras that maybe sound differently. But it sounds like the working premise in this Gemara that all the Rishonim would agree to is that the Hiddur does not become fully a part of the mitzvah to take on all its dinim, such as most prominently the din of Docha Shabbos. So that I don't know if that's what you meant. I think you meant something a little different. Am I correct or am I not?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, if it's not necessarily true that everyone would agree that Hiddur Mitzvah is completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Meaning if Hiddur Mitzvah is completely separate, and we were saying before that it doesn't become part of the mitzvah, well, you could, I mean, it's possible to differentiate that whether it's like an attack onto the mitzvah or if it's completely separate. It's almost like we have, like a counter example where we have like a Averos. What were you saying? Jonas said
it. I said it was the painter.
Yeah, so.
All right, it'll be like a Kali Prati kind of question.
Yeah, it's a similar, like, you know, right. Is it integrated, is it considered?
Yes, that question for sure exists. The question is, I don't know if it explains any of the views here. That's the issue, because, like as you're saying, that it seems like essentially, the Rambam, I guess you'd call him the minimalist on the Hiddur Mitzvah here, because he's saying do Hiddur Mitzvah less often. And even those who would be the maximalists, they do it 6 days a week, they agree, but wait, don't do it on Shabbos, just for that purpose alone, because there's a certain level in which it doesn't seem to join the mitzvah itself. Now, parenthetically, again, there are other sugyas that may contradict this, and it's a whole discussion. So, for example, there's a Gemara in Menachos that says that if somebody shechts an animal on Shabbos for the purpose of a korban tzibur, which is the type that you do on Shabbos, a korban tzibur, the conditions to bring a korban on Shabbos is it has to be a korban tzibur shezmano kavua. So if you have a korban that's supposed to be on Shabbos and it's on behalf of the tzibur, so that's what does take place on Shabbos. So the Gemara Menacha says, what if you shecht an animal for that purpose and then you realize that it's not the best choice? That Yeshachat Asha Kusha, and then you find the Shemena, the Yeshachted, a very Shvach animal, and then you realize there's a better choice for this korban. So the Gemara says to Shech that animal instead. And there it means, presumably, it's only an issue of Hiddur Mitzvah, because you have a kosher animal, you just have a better option, and yet the Gemara is saying to Shech it on Shabbos, apparently for Hiddur. So there's some discussion how to explain that Gemara in light of this premise. But the opening premise, at least as far as this Gemara we're talking about, seems to be that we all agree that a pure Hiddur act will not be Docha Shabbos. So it seems for that purpose, everyone agrees, the Hiddur does not identify itself fully with Mila. So the question, what's the difference here? What do they not agree on? Hi.
Is it possible that the Rambam holds that it would be an issue of Baal Tosef from that aspect?
Okay. So let me tell you what I think my job is interpreting everybody's statements. So tell me if you mean the following, which is creative. I don't think it's necessarily the answer here, but it's creative. That you find that the Rambam L'Shitaso by Baal Tosef, the question is, how do you define the Isser Baal Tosef? So, which is always interesting because it's an Issa Daraisa, and yet we don't have a lot of clarity on what the parameters are of Baal Tosef. If you think, you know, we should figure it out. It's an Issa Daraisa. We should try to know what the Torah is telling us. But so there's a big debate in Rishonim what it is. So the Rambam in one place in Hilchas Mamrim, the Rambam suggests that when you treat a Drabanan like a Daraisa, that would be an example of Baal Tosef. So, to give a timely example, they say a story that Reb Chaim was once asked about a place that only had kidneys, that they had very little food, and most of the food was kidneys. So, you have to assume they had something else, but they had very little other than kidneys. So, the question was, over the course of Pesach, should they observe the Ashkenazi practice to abstain from kidneys? Or should we say, no, it's going to be so difficult that they shouldn't? Again, you have to assume they had something, otherwise it would be mamash pikuach nefesh, but they must have had very, very little other than that. So Reb Chaim's response was that not only are they not obligated to abstain from kidneys under those circumstances, but it would be wrong to abstain from kidneys. So it would be a violation of Baal Tosef, based on the Rambam, because kidneys is a minig. And to treat the minig like a daraisa, that were machmir even b'tzarech gadol, even with great difficulty, that would be a Baal Tosef. It would blur the difference between the minig and the daraisa. Jonah, is that what you're working off of for your theory here? That kind of idea?
Yeah. No, I was thinking more just the fact that one could be mekayim in the Maisa Mitzvah with something that should not happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once you finish the Maisa Mitzvah, going back would imply that you're adding on. You're not, I don't want to say it's changing the surah of the mitzvah, because that's more she just does with it.
Okay. So that I missed it. I thought you were saying that you were building on this to say that any time you treat a din with more chumrah than it deserves, or than it should normally associate with, then that's Baal Tosef. So here, if it's not Docha Shabbos, to treat it like it is Docha Shabbos is...
No, I see it as like you're like disregarding the Maisimitz that you already did, kind of thing.
But how do you define how that's different from the fact that the Hiddur exists according to the Rambam too?
Right.
Right, so where is the difference here? Because he agrees you're supposed to do it, L'chachila. So I'll tell you how a number of Achronim explain. And there's a discussion about this in the Shagas Aryeh, and there's a discussion in the Beis Halevi, and most prominently, a little bit of a different form, in the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav made this idea famous because he associates it with Hanukkah. Now it's a little not so timely to bring in Hanukkah, but just while we're mentioning it, we have to throw it in. So he said as follows. He said that the Shaila is the difference between the Rambam and other Rishonim. Is it possible to have a Hiddur mitzvah that is separate from the mitzvah or not? So, according to the other Rishonim, it is. That you can do the cut, and then you can come back and do the mitzvah separately. The Hiddur mitzvah separately, excuse me. You can come back and do the Hiddur mitzvah separately. But according to the Rambam, it's not possible. So therefore, once you finish the cut, there's no such thing as doing the Hiddur as a separate act. While the other Rishonim, they believe you could do it as a separate act, and therefore the only reason not to is if it's Shabbos. So that's how the Brisker Rav explains it. And he wants to say, here's where you have to tighten your seatbelts, that this is l'shitasam, the Rambam and the Ramah. Because the Ramah is with everyone else, Tosfos and the like, that the issue is only Shabbos. So according to what he just said, according to the Ramah, together with a camp of many other Rishonim, you can do a Hiddur separate from a mitzvah. And according to the Rambam, you cannot, right? So he wants to explain a machlokis in Hilchos Chanukah. That in Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam and the Ramah are on the same side of one issue, but then they diverge. Because the question of when you add on candles for a Mahadrim and a Mahadrim of Chanukah, so the view that we combine the Hidurim of per person and per night. So let's say the fourth night of Hanukkah and there's three people in the household, you should light 12 candles. That view is shared both by the Rambam and the Ramah. But they diverge on the following point. That according to the Rambam, the Baal HaBos lights all the candles. He'll light all those 12 candles. And according to the Ramah, each member of the household lights their own set of candles. So the three people in the household for the fourth night of Hanukkah, each person will light 4 candles to add up to the 12. Okay, so far so good? So what's the basis for that difference? Why did the Ramah change the position of the Rambam? He agrees there should be 12 candles, but he makes it 4 times 3 instead of one person lighting 12. So says the Brisker Rav, it's the same machlokas. The question is, when you have a mitzvah and a hiddur mitzvah, do they have to be together, or can they even be separate? So the Rambam holds they have to be together. That's why he holds the hiddur by a bris milah has to be done in one cut. So therefore also, the Baal HaBos, who's doing the Iker mitzvah of the first night of Hanukkah, he has to light all the Hanukkah candles. While according to the Ramah, you could have a hiddur mitzvah separate from a mitzvah. So therefore, you can have the Baal HaBos light his candles, and the other family members who are lighting as a hiddur, they can separately light their own candles. You hear the parallel? That's how the Brisker Rav says it. Now, there are many, many objections to this association of the Brisker Rav, his correlating of these two questions. Anyone want to suggest any problems with it? Morty?
There are these happening at the same time.
So that's true. Also, the question of how exactly you're defining part of the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah or not. Right? That's one objection. There are others that are raised also. Jonah?
Just that like sometimes the hitter is part of the individual mitzvah that's what that one's doing, but there are many candles, so...
How do you say, once we're talking about separate candles, why does it matter whether the balabas is lighting 1, 2, 3 or whether other people are lighting 1, 2, 3?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's also a little bit of a weakness in the parallel. I thought that was similar to what Morty was getting at. But there are other issues that are raised as objections. So, one, it happens to be that those who object in writing happen to be Talmidim of the Brisker Rebbe for the most part. But one point that's particularly useful to us, one point just to mention, to not focus on for now, because it's really a Hanukkah issue, if you look in the Avi Ezri, Rav Shach, who was, I believe, the Talmud of the Brisker Rebbe also, Rav Shach rejects the comparison because he believes, as many do, that the Mahadrim and the Mahadrin of Hanukkah is a completely different concept than Hidr Mitzvah B'chol HaTorah Kula. And it's got a completely different lumdus. And to say you can draw a parallel of the structure of Hidr Mitzvah anywhere else and Hidr Mitzvah of these extra candles on Hanukkah, it's not really relevant. So that's a Hanukkah point. We won't dwell on it, but that's an objection from that level. But more relevant to us is an observation that's made by Rav Moshe Sternbuch. So he notes that the premise of the Brisker Rebbe is a little funny. Doesn't say it like that, but he says the premise is a little hard to understand because the view that the Brisker Rebbe is associating with the other Rishonim, with the majority of the Rishonim, is that you can have a hiddur separate completely from a mitzvah. And that's hard to make sense of. It doesn't seem like that's really true. And in fact, they say a story about Reb Chaim that illustrates this. And the funny thing is, it's a story I've heard about Reb Chaim, but it's actually a tshuva of the Beis Halevi. So the Reb Chaim's father has this, you can read this in the tshuvas, but for some reason they tell it as a story about a son about Reb Chaim. But essentially it's a brain teaser question. What would you say about the following? Let's say it's Sukkos, and you have a choice of one of two esrogim to use. One esrog is definitely kosher, but it's a suffix whether it ranks as mohudr or not. Definitely kosher, suffix mohudr. The other esrog is definitely mohudr. It's gorgeous esrog. But you're not sure if it's actually kosher. So if it's kosher, it's mohudr, but it may not be kosher. Okay? Those are your two choices. Now let's assume that you're going to pick up one esrog after the other. You'll try both of them. What order should you do it in? What would you say? Jacob?
First you take the one that's mohudr.
Okay, why?
Kosher, because once you pick up the other one, the definitely kosher one, your yotzei mitzvah for sure. But if you take this one, you can kind of make a tie. If this is kosher, this should work. And if not, let me use the second one. But if you're picking up the one that 100% works...
Okay, very good. So that's exactly what the Beis Halevi and Reb Chaim say. And it's a little bit of a counterintuitive answer, because you'd think your biggest priority, you would think, is always to make sure that the basics are there, that it's kosher. So you would think, okay, if I have to choose, let me focus first on the definitely kosher thing, and then I'll worry about bidurim. So that may have been the instinctive decoy answer. And Jacob says correctly that no, that's going to be counterproductive. That first take the one that might be kosher, because then if it's good, then it's both kosher and mahudr, and you win the jackpot. If it turns out it's not, then you'll take the other one, and at least you'll get a kosher mitzvah by the end of the process. So what do you see illustrated by that? That it doesn't make sense to say, okay, I'll be yotze my mitzvah of esrog, and now I'll go do hiddur esrog on a different esrog. I'll have one esrog for the mitzvah and one esrog for a hiddur. Right, that doesn't seem to make sense. It seems logical that the whole notion of a hiddur is that it's icing on the cake. It has to be on the cake. You can't have the cake and then the icing. So the idea that a hiddur mitzvah can be completely disembodied from a mitzvah is a little hard to imagine, especially to ascribe that view to the majority of Rishonim and say the Rambam's the one outlier, he's the only one who doesn't think that. That's hard to accept for it. So Rav Sternbuch rearranges the machlokas, or he takes it to another level in a way that's particularly relevant to our sugya, makes it even more connected to what we're trying to figure out. And he says as follows. He says there is a certain, he says the question, you have to adjust the question a little bit. Because no one's really going to say that a hiddur can be completely disembodied from a mitzvah. That doesn't make sense. That's like the 2S Rogan. But rather, let's ask the question like this. You can make another chiluk, and it happens to be a chiluk that works both for Mila and for Chanukah. And so therefore, unlike Rav Shach, he accepts the paralleling of Mila and Chanukah. He just says you have to make the association a little differently. Now when it comes to Chanukah, there really are two things going on. There is the act of the hadlaka, and then there is the candles being lit. So perhaps everyone agrees that a hiddur only makes sense added on top of an existing mitzvah. But the question is, do we need the maisa mitzvah to be together with the hiddur? Or is it enough that there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah that is still continuing? But no one here is talking about the mitzvah being done completely. So let's work, for example, in Hanukkah, let's assume like the time of the Gemara, where all the candles were being lit at the same time, because there was a very narrow slot when, according to the Ikar HaDin, Ikar Takana, all of the Hanukkah candles were lit within a very narrow time frame, which we don't really observe nowadays for various reasons, but Zman HaGemara was all during that narrow window. So you have the Balabas lighting the first candle, and there's now a kiyum that his candles is lit. His candle is lit. So everyone else can now join in and add a hiddur onto that presentation. So the question is, do you have to have the hiddur only together with the maisa hadlaka? And that's the Rambam, it all has to be one progression. Or is it enough that there's still a kiyum hamitzvah going on? So with that structure, you could say that the same structure exists when it comes to bris milah. And this is a point that we were exploring here. That what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of bris milah? It seems like there are two parts. Right? What are the two parts? We started to discuss this last time. So we have the Maisa HaMilah, and then we also have the reality of not being an Aro, of existing in a state of Mila, how do you want to call it, Maholness, Maholitude, that of non-Arelus, Arelikite. So that is a separate track. So the question is, what does the Hiddur have to connect to? Does the Hiddur have to be in the Maisa HaMila, in the cut itself? Or does the Hiddur suffice if it's associated with the Kiyum HaMitzvah? Now how do you know when it comes to Bris Mila that there is a Kiyum simply in not being an RL? So we saw how that could explain various things, but there is also a Gemara in Maseches Menachos that is brought as a proof of this. The Beis Halevi is a truth about this. Others talk about this. I put this on the Maamar Komos. Right? The Gemara says in Menachos that David HaMelech was in the bathhouse. So he's undressed in the bathhouse, and he's depressed because he doesn't have any mitzvah involvement at that point in time. There's nothing too spiritual happening. So then he feels better because he realizes he does have one mitzvah, and that's his bris milah. So we might say that's pretty advanced thinking for an eight-day-old baby. Wow, he was thinking this during his Maisa HaBris, that's the thought that was occurring to him. So presumably not. He's thinking this as an adult. So what do you mean mitzvah Maisa Mila? That happened years ago. So you see here that no, there's also a key in mitzvah in being mohel, in remaining in a state of mila, that's also a mitzvah. So that question we mentioned is behind a number of issues. The question of Moshe Charlaso, what level of Isser is that? Is it possible to undo the mila? Is Moshe Charlaso Nisa Deraisa or Nisa Derabanan? And we mentioned also the question of what exactly is the mitzvah that we're trying to address here. That Zman Grama is not Zman Grama. Are we talking about a specific action or simply removing the Orla, or is it both? So what emerges is that with Mila also, it's a little bit like Hanukkah. That's how Rav Sternbuch draws a parallel. That there is an action and then there is a state in which the mitzvah is ongoing. And in this case, it's the man's entire life. So then the question is, the machlokas is, where does the hiddur connect to? Does the hiddur connect specifically to the maisa hamila, the cutting? Has to be then or never? And maybe that's the view of the Rambam. After you miss that cut, there's no point in going back and modifying. It's nothing to do with the orla. There's no point in going back and addressing that if it wasn't done in the initial cut. Or do we say that no, that the mila, that the hiddur connects to the kiyum ha-mitzvah, and therefore as long as this person is, as David HaMelech's Chiddush tells us, is being mekayim the mitzvah, i.e. the rest of his life, it's possible to go back and do the hiddur. Does that make sense? So that's how Rav Sternbuch sets it up. Again, it helps, shows a little bit more respect for his Rebbe's original position in that he keeps the Chanukah Mila parallel going, as opposed to Rav Shach, who specifically disputes that there's any connection. But even if you want to take Rav Sternbuch's Hesber, the truth is they're probably different. That Chanukah and Mila still, the nature of their momentary mitzvah and longer mitzvah is still probably very different. And that in the case of Mila, it seems like Mila is not an example of where there's a Maisa and a Kiyum. These are two different components of the mitzvah. The idea of the Maisa itself, which could also maybe represent itself in Hatafas Dambris, theoretically, which exists even without an Orla. Right? Well, that's a little bit of a question whether it exists without an Orla. Because the Gemara tells us in Shabbos about Hatafas Dambris, the Gemara talks about it in the context of a nolad mohel. If a person is born apparently in a state of mila, so do they need hatafas dambris? So the question is why? Is it because of suffik orla kvusha that we're worried that maybe there is an orla there? Or do we say that no, it's just a din, that there has to be a maisa mila of some sort, and if there's no orla, then there has to be a Hatafas Dambris. So that's a question in general, whether Hatafas Dambris connects to Orla at all. Probably doesn't. Right? So for example, the Rambam writes that an Orla cannot eat Truma, right? But does not require a Nolad Mahal to have Hatafas Dambris in order to eat Truma. So what do you see? Hatafas Dambris is not connected to Orla, it's connected to Maisa Mila. And it may or may not be necessary. Maybe it's only necessary because of the Suffolk Orla, or maybe not. So the Rambam seems to understand that as a Maisa Mila issue, and therefore not something which is relevant to the question of Orla. So it seems like if you want to say a Hesber like Rav Sternbuch, and the question is really that you have two different components here, and this hiddur of the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, what does it really connect to? Does it connect to the ma'isa hamila, or does it connect to the state of not being an ara? Which is hard to necessarily generalize as a question by all mitzvos, whether hiddur connects to a ma'isa or a kim. Now nonetheless, there is a general hiddur mitzvah question that one could ask, that might be also relevant here, if you don't want to focus on the specifics of mila, that one could ask, why do we have hiddur mitzvah at all? So is hiddur mitzvah about doing mitzvot in an impressive way? that you should leave an impressive picture? Or is it about doing a mitzvah with enthusiasm? So you do mitzvahs quickly, it's reason why you do the mitzvahs to show enthusiasm. You do it yourself, mitzvah bo yosu mibishifo, in order to show enthusiasm. And you do it in a mahudr way. So that could be the machlokas here also. It could be that the other Rishonim agree that hiddur is about what the mitzvah looks like in the end. So therefore, it doesn't matter how many cuts it took. The idea is the finished product should be mohoder. And this is apparently the definition of mohoder for a bris milah. Well, according to the Rambam, hiddur is all about how you do a mitzvah. If you do the mitzvah with enthusiasm to try to do everything the best possible way, that's what a hiddur is. And once you finish the Maisa Mitzvah, there's nothing to be gained by going back and adding a hiddur because this Maisa is done. So it happens to be that Hesber also works a little bit for the Rambam too, because it happens to be the Rambam has an unusual recording of the din of hiddur mitzvah. That the way the Gemara describes hiddur mitzvah, tzitzis na, sefer Torah na, they're talking about beautiful objects. The Rambam never records such a concept in Mishneh Torah. He seems to only have hiddur mitzvah as how you do things. So, for example, we also find other Rishonim talking about hiddur mitzvah when you don't have objects involved, but rather how things are done. Just to give a timely example of that, Rashi and the Rashbam, in the beginning of the 10th parak of Psachim, say that you should not eat on Erev Pesach, so that you can eat matzah b'teyavon, and they say that's a hiddur mitzvah. So others will say, what do you mean it's a hiddur mitzvah? No one's going to see any beautiful object here. No one's going to be impressed at what they look at. So you see, no, that this definition of hiddur mitzvah doesn't mean beautifying something. It means doing a mitzvah the most perfect way. And so eating the matzah with a good appetite is called a hiddur too. So that seems to be closer to the Rambam's formulation, that the way you do the mitzvah is what we mean by hiddur. So it could be that once you've done the initial cut, there's nothing to talk about to come back and do something else. So maybe that's the Hesber HaMachlokes. I should also mention that I won't hold you guys responsible because you're not fathers yet for not having more rachmanis on your babies. But the Chassam Sofer says the reason you don't go back and make an extra cut is because of the tzar of the tinok. That it's painful to cut an extra time. So if you can get it done in the first cut, so that's the reason. But that's appropriate. But if it involves cutting the baby again, so the Chassam Sofer says, that's why you shouldn't do it. That's why the Rambam has this position, and that it's not connected to Shabbos. All right, so that doesn't leave us with so much time. So I guess what we'll try to do is, I'll have to stop here for Mincha. We'll have to do is, I guess the next time we pick up, I will segue from Bris Milah into Pidgin HaBen with one of the board, and then we'll go into Pidgin HaBen. All right, so we'll stop here. Jed, would you like to dive across?
Sure.
Okay. Or you have a scar.